I remember when I went to school, other than my parents, I don't think anybody prayed for me. And I'm glad that in our church they were being prayed for. Had to be careful in our prayers. I always remember the little boy who said, "Dear Lord, please make London the capital of Canada, because that's what I put down on my exam." Well, the Lord hears our prayers, and he answers. Praise be to God. Now, I'm doing a little test this morning. The test is, when Nathan speaks in this microphone, we all hear him very clearly. When I speak, I've been told that you don't hear me as clearly. So I'm going to boost up the power just a little bit and speak so that you can hear. Now, there's a strange thing. Well, wait a minute. I'm getting a signal. It's all right? It's all right. Okay. I'm glad to get the signal. Now then, a couple of weeks ago, I began the service and ended the service with a little chorus. And the chorus is one we used to sing in Sunday school many years ago. And now I'm going to say it again today, not sing it, but say it, and also close the service with it. Here's the chorus. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen? Amen, and praise be to God. Previously, we talked about the subject called heaven. Now, you may hear the expression, seventh heaven. As near as we know, there is no seventh heaven. There are three heavens, and we get this from the authority of the Word of God. So we looked at this previously. The first heaven is the home of the birds and the clouds. The second heaven is the home of the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies. But the third heaven is the home of God and all the holy ones. So when we think of going to heaven, we're not thinking about where the birds and clouds are. We're not thinking about the galaxies and the planets and the sun and the moon, but we are thinking about the place where God is. This morning, the Lord willing, we're going to look at four topics regarding heaven. I've had lots of questions over the years about heaven. Perhaps you have questions about heaven, and this morning we're going to learn something more about them. What are the four topics this morning? Our Redeemer in heaven, our relationships in heaven, our residence in heaven, and our riches in heaven. You'll notice the alliteration: Redeemer, relationships, residence, riches. I'm so glad for Bible teachers who spend a lot of time putting things in alliterative form. I think of Dr. Harold Wilmington, who's now at home with the Lord. I think of Dr. David Jeremiah. I think of Dr. Mark Hitchcock, all great theologians. And they go through a passage of Scripture and they work out this alliteration to help us to remember. So whenever I see it, I write it down and hold on to it. And occasionally, I'll figure out an alliterative form all on my own, but not always. I'm impressed by those who've been able to do it. But first, let us read from the Word of God as we find in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. So let us hear the Word of God. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Now, a little background. When they heard this, what was it they heard? Stephen had spoken to them, had given a message, and they didn't like what they heard. Let me read that again. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold the sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Falling asleep is the New Testament word for dying. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. So let's begin by looking at our Redeemer in heaven. Most Christians, if not all, they're looking forward to an event that hasn't happened yet, but is going to happen, maybe in our lifetime, and it's called the rapture. Now, if you look through your Bible at the word rapture, you won't find it. It doesn't exist there. In fact, other than the cover, the word Bible doesn't appear in Scripture either. But the concepts are still there, and the concept of the rapture is clearly there. The church age was born at Pentecost, and it's going to end when the rapture occurs. What is the rapture? The rapture is when the people of God are taken up to be with him, going through the clouds and getting to the third heaven. We will be with him forever. It's the church of Jesus Christ. We are his bride. Now, when I say the church is going to be taken up at the rapture, I don't mean the buildings. We're referring to the buildings, the church. We all call this, we're going to church. This is the church. There are many churches throughout the world. However, it's not the building that's going to ascend. It's the people. The people who've placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They are all going to go up. We are all going to go up, but it's and there will be those who are not going up, and those are the people who have not put their complete trust in Jesus as Savior. Now, as important and as interesting as all of this is, looking forward to the rapture, looking forward to going to glory, the most important part of our ascent will be seeing Jesus. We will finally see him face to face. We'll be able to look on his face, the one who died for us, who saved us. We read this morning about his great love for us. We sang it together. And I think over and over again about the love of God and the love of Jesus. You know, there are people who think that God is sitting up there in the clouds of heaven somehow, and he's sitting there looking down, just waiting to zap all those people who are doing something that's wrong. What they don't understand is God is looking down at people, and he loves them so much. He loves them that he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for their sin. The sin they couldn't pay for, someone else had to pay for them, and only Jesus could do it. So this was a praise God item. Jesus, we will see him face to face. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Redeemer. He's our King. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary." That was only a copy of the true one. Let me hesitate there. When Moses received the instruction to build the tabernacle, he received the instruction from God, and it was the duplicate of what was in heaven and on earth. So let me read that again. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary. There was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself and to appear for us in God's presence. You know, that's absolutely magnificent. Jesus appears before God, representing you and representing me. He looks at God and he says, that person there, they put their trust in me. And Jesus is advocating on your behalf and on mine. Elsewhere in God's word, we read about the streets being paved of gold, the gates being made of pearl. We look at all these items that are going to take place in glory. And I suggest that as spectacular as these sights will be, and we will be quite overwhelmed by them all, they will fade into insignificance in comparison to seeing the face of Jesus and finally seeing who he is and what he's done. I believe when we get to glory, there will be no physical marks on us at all. We will have a perfect body, and it will be made for eternity. I also believe that when we get to glory, we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to see where his hands were pierced, his side was pierced, and his feet were pierced by nails on the cross when he paid the price for you and for me. He will be the only one, I believe, who will have physical marks on him, and it'll be an eternal reminder of who he is and what he's done for us. We will have the privilege of standing in his presence, whom we have not seen, but then we will. And then we'll appreciate and experience a level of love that we can only imagine. We may have love for Jesus, I pray that we do, but the love that Jesus has for us is really remarkable. If we could only understand God's love and the love of Jesus for each of us, we would be, pardon me, overwhelmed. Peter said this, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's it. Faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. It's the salvation of our souls. That's the ultimate goal. We realize it once we take Christ into our life. In many ways, it's going to be like Stephen. Now, we read about Stephen in the passage of Scripture this morning. He's known as the first Christian martyr, the first one who put his complete trust in Jesus as Savior, and he was killed by the people who didn't like what they heard, and yet what they heard was directly from God's word. You'll notice in the reading it said that they put their cloaks at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. Well, that man, Saul, was an atheist. Well, he believed in God, but did not believe in Jesus. Later on, he had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. The same Saul, he was laying the cloaks of the people who were killing Stephen at his feet. And then Saul met Jesus, and he changed his name to Paul, and he became one of the greatest theologians of all. You know, it means that even for you and for me, I don't know if anybody here this morning considers himself to be the greatest sinner in all the world. Maybe you see others as great sinners. Maybe you look at yourself and realize that you too are a sinner. But you know the wonderful truth is God loves you even though you're a sinner. And God loves you so much he wants you to put your trust in Jesus as Savior. And when you do, things begin to change. Praise be to God. I don't know how it's possible for billions and billions of believers down through the centuries all to be gathered together in the third heaven, seeing Jesus for the first time, all these billions of people around offering praise, honor, glory, and worship unto him. Can you imagine? I have difficulty imagining it. I try to imagine it, and it's absolutely wonderful. Can you just think of it? I can remember years ago being in a Billy Graham crusade choir, and all the people in the building, 2,000 or so, we were all singing Glory to God, and it was magnificent. I stopped singing and just listened to the people singing. And then I'm thinking about when billions get to heaven, the church gets to heaven and sees Jesus, and we'll be worshiping and we'll be singing. What a day of glory that's going to be. Our ears will be filled with heavenly music. Praise be to God. So the first R is Redeemer. We will see our Redeemer in heaven. And then what about our relationships in heaven? Dr. David Jeremiah tells this story about three siblings who didn't know there were three siblings. In fact, they went through a genetic process in order to find out what their ancestors were or who they were. And a lady in Canada discovered that she had two siblings in the United Kingdom. So this lady's name was Lorraine Williams. She boarded a plane in British Columbia and went to the United Kingdom and met her two siblings. They had the same father, not the same mother, but there they met for the first time. And after 70 years, they didn't know the other existed. So 70 years, and they finally met together in the United Kingdom. Lorraine Williams, the lady in Canada, she said this, "It's been nothing but positivity and happiness and an explosion of emotions." An explosion of emotions when they met. Now, I started to think about that and think of the story. There are people in this congregation where loved ones have gone on before, and they've gone on to glory. If you were a believer in Jesus Christ, put all your trust in him. If the person who has departed put all their trust in Jesus, Savior and Lord, then you are going to have a glorious reunion in heaven one day. There's going to be a great explosion of emotions because you will be there and you will see them and they will see you and you will be recognized and they will be recognized, and this is heaven. God has prepared a place for us. Praise be to God. When we all get to glory, we will enjoy our relationships for all eternity. Now that is a praise God experience. What about those of our family members or those whom we loved and those whom we hold dear? What if they weren't believers? Well, I don't know what happens in heaven. They're not there. will be rejoicing for those who are there, and perhaps, just perhaps, God will erase our memory of all those people who aren't there who should have been there. I don't know if that's what he's going to do or not. I do know there are no tears in heaven. There'll be no sadness in heaven. So therefore, somehow, we're going to be able to overcome it. Our Redeemer is in heaven. Our ultimate eternal residence will be in heaven. And then there's our residence, our relationships in heaven, and then our residence in heaven. Now, it's nice to have a residence. We've done some traveling over the years, going to different places, seeing different things, meeting different people. But you know, there's always something great about coming home to your own bed, coming home to everything that's convenient and understand everything. It's just wonderful. As Christians, we're reminded of these words, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. In examining this thoroughly, we live on an earthly place. We live in Canada. We're citizens of Canada. Whatever country we're in, generally speaking, we're citizens there, but it is only temporary. On the heavenly plane, we are citizens of heaven, and it lasts not only for the now, but also for all eternity. It's true, I have a passport with my picture on it. I always remember the story of a fellow who had his picture taken for his passport. Maybe you have too. And another fellow looked at the picture in the passport and said, "Oh my goodness, if you look like that, you need a vacation." So our passport photos are not always making us look very great. That's what passports are. However, I may have a passport, and I do, saying that I'm a citizen of Canada, but I am also a citizen of heaven. And not only that, I am, and you are, an ambassador for Christ wherever it is we are. We are an ambassador for him in our local community, in a larger community, throughout the country, and throughout the world. We are citizens and ambassadors. What a privilege. Now, there's one further truth. Not only are we citizens of heaven, not only are we ambassadors of the gospel and of Jesus, we are also royalty. There's one television preacher who often says that we have the royal blood of heaven flowing through our veins. Yes, we are royalty. Let's keep this in mind. Angels are also citizens of heaven, but it's not the same. They are not sons and daughters, not children of the king. Paul puts it this way, "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out." Now, this is God's Spirit in your heart and in mine, crying out to God, "Abba," it's like daddy, "Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter, then an heir of God through Christ." We are an heir. Everything that Christ has will become ours. We will be in the presence of royalty, and the royal blood of heaven is indeed flowing through our veins. I think it's true most of us, if not all of us, long for a place where there are no more conflicts, no more misunderstandings, no more hurt feelings, no more strained friendships. Well, that isn't true here on earth, but it is true in glory. That's where we're going to be. Praise be to God. Our Redeemer is in heaven. Our relationships will be in heaven, our residence in heaven, and then our riches in heaven. Scripture makes it clear that heaven is filled with many kinds of riches or many kinds of wealth, rewards that are there, absolutely incredible inheritance for the children of God. I read something just recently that we realized that God gave us creation. God gave us salvation. God gave us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. God has given us many, many good things. He's given us eternal life so that he can give us even more when we are in eternity. Isn't that absolutely amazing? It's a praise God item. We read about God becoming our Father and thus made an heir of all his riches and his glory. because we accepted his gift of salvation. Contrary to the beliefs of some, not every person is a son of God or a daughter of God. Only those who put their trust in Jesus as Savior. Then we become sons and daughters of God. Here's what we believers receive. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. In Jesus we have obtained an inheritance. We are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. We are called in Christ to receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And John in Revelation states this, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." Put your trust in Jesus. Continue to put your trust in Jesus. Do not backslide. Overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will inherit all things, whatever it is that God has for us in glory. And then we read from Peter's word, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Just picture it. All of this reserved in heaven for all who take that leap of faith and put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. The truth of the matter is, you and I, as children of the Lord, receive an inheritance that's beyond anything that we can comprehend. Now, Paul, I have great admiration for Paul. I told you he was Saul, met Jesus, became Paul, and became one of the greatest theologians of all ages. It seems as though that, well, we do know that Paul talked about someone who 14 years ago, pardon me, went to heaven and saw all the glories of heaven. Now, most theologians believe that Paul is talking about himself. And so in thinking of these words that Paul has written, something he saw in heaven, kind of interesting, excuse me again. Kind of interesting that Paul had this experience of going to heaven, and he was told by the Lord not to write some of the things that he saw. When we look further on at John, the Revelator, he went to heaven as well, and he wrote a great deal about what was going to happen in heaven on earth. In fact, the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse in heaven and a glimpse on earth, glimpse in heaven and a glimpse on earth all the way through the book. But there were things that John saw there that he was not to write down. It's still going to be a surprise for us when we get there. However, this is what Paul wrote. Finally getting to this point, he said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Think about it. Our eye hasn't seen it. Our ear hasn't heard it. Our mind hasn't comprehended what God has in store for those who love him. Again, I'm going to quote Dr. David Jeremiah. He told the story about in the summer of 2022, experts at the National Galleries of Scotland were examining a painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. So as they were examining this, they do it very carefully with thick glasses and so on, and sometimes computer help. But as they looked at the picture, they turned the painting over, and on the back, they discovered there was another painting. And they were absolutely ecstatic about seeing this other painting. And so it was covered with cardboard and glue and all sorts of things. They were able to strip all of this off and get to the painting. And it turns out that this painting was a painting of the artist himself. And perhaps we've all seen it. It was a man with a beard looking sternly out with a big white hat on. And it was Vincent de Gaulle. And he had painted this, but he painted another one on the front. And so they thought it was absolutely wonderful. And the researchers said this, "It was a sensational find. And moments like this are incredibly rare." Moments like this are incredibly rare. That's on a human level, discovering a painting they didn't know existed. But now, turn those thoughts over to when you and I get to glory. The more we study heaven, the more we discover God's precious gift of eternity and the eternal life with him. The more we learn, the greater we can understand. The more we understand, the more we realize that someday we are going to be in glory with him. And it's something that you and I can look forward to with keen anticipation. Deeply studying and searching the Word of God will unearth heavenly treasures, treasures that we don't even know exist. So this morning, we've looked at our Redeemer in heaven, our relationships in heaven, our residence in heaven, our riches in heaven. The greatest riches of all will be to see Jesus face to face. What do we begin with? Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Father God, we bow before you. We appreciate you. We love you. The love of Jesus is in our hearts. And only with the love of Jesus can we love you and love him and love others. We praise you, O God. And my prayer is humbly this, that for all who are in our midst this day, who have not put their trust in you, Lord Jesus, that this will be the day that they will put their complete trust in you as Savior and Lord. And they too will have all of glory to look forward to. Hear our prayer. Ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.